Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
This last week, we're another wake-up call for our country, but also for the body of Christ. And tonight, we're going to devote significant time to talk about racial reconciliation, restoration, and to pray for God to bring that about. As a part of our time together, Debbie and I have asked three members of the James River Church family to join us for the prayer meeting to share about their experiences, to share their heart, to give us a better understanding of how we can pursue justice, how we can better pray for reconciliation and healing across the land, and how we can personally be involved as agents of reconciliation and change. So we are so honored to be able to welcome here tonight our panel, and let me introduce them. Cindy Everson is a high school foreign language teacher in the Springfield Public School System, teaching 9th through 12th grade. Sure. Welcome, Cindy. It's so nice to have you with us.
Thank you for being here.
It's fantastic.
Our second panelist is Maurice Moss, who is in-house counsel for a company here in Springfield, Missouri. As he and his wife, Krista, I guess, are both attorneys,
yes,
have a three-year-old son, James. Maurice and Krista attend the South Campus, have served as life group leaders since 2018, and he's actively involved in the community, serving on several boards and committees. Maurice, it's so good to have you with us tonight. And then finally, we've got Denzel Primpe, who is originally from Ghana, is a music producer, also works locally for Multiplied Credit Union. He and his wife, Abby, have two children, and he's been a part of the Worship Dream Team. Welcome, Denzel.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. We so appreciate it. So we're honored to have you with us, and I thought it would be good for us to be able to hear from people who are part of the church who are African American as we process the events of this past week, this past month, and we try to give context to what you and I can do in order to be a part of bringing about racial reconciliation. And I knew that they would speak from their heart to us and help us understand the journey that Black Americans face, because there is, honestly, and I think it's hard for white people to grasp this, but there is clearly such a thing as white privilege. There are advantages that are given to white people, and people have those without recognizing that not everybody has the same advantages. And so we're gonna ask you some questions. I guess I'll put this one out to the whole group. The past several weeks have been filled with news about Ahmaud Arbery, and then this last week, George Floyd. What was your reaction after hearing about these heartbreaking events?
I think my initial reaction was just numbness. I was numb for probably about a day or two. I remember just laying in my bed and thinking, it's come to this. Now we just see it. You can turn on any station, not just CNN, and you see it. And people are passing it along. But it's come to that level. My heart is heavy. It's really heavy right now.
For me, it was the Ahmaud Arbery one. That was huge for me. Being an attorney, there's certain things you hope the legal system gets right. I mean, we have video cameras now. We have cell phones, and we see it. But if someone didn't happen to just record it, it would just been your word against my word. And in most places today in America, my word is not worth very much. And so that's something, that's the reality of it.
So Denzel, what would you say?
The first question that comes in my mind is, Jesus, how can I be an agent of change and restoration? Because what we are doing here is not just penning down something for those of us who are here, but we are etching things into the walls of history. The only way people can know what love is when I reflect who Jesus is. If I cannot reflect that, then I have missed the mark.
Springfield, the greater Springfield area is depending on the survey you look at, 92 to 95% white. It's Caucasian. So I think that makes it especially difficult to be, to look different in an area. And so I think it would be very, very hard. It's always going to be hard to be the person that's different, whether that we're talking about skin color or anything else. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be that person. If somebody's listening and they say, you know, I'm troubled by what's happened, but I'm not prejudiced, what would you say to them?
So one of the things is this implicit bias. We do it all the time. I would say probably less than 2% of people are outright prejudiced. Nobody, not a lot of people go down the street and say, hey, I hate black people. But most people, we have this implicit bias as the way we were raised. And those biases impact the way I think, the way I do my job, the way I drive down the street, it's where I live, everything. They impact and they're impacting someone.
Yeah.
And so we have to think about
that. And really the only thing that can change that is knowledge.
Yes.
And the truth
yes.
of God's word. I was thinking this morning, I was raised in a primarily white environment in northern Seattle, in the suburbs, and then in upper Michigan. And so I wasn't taught or I didn't have experiences with black community, and which I wish I had had. And I'm seeing that conversation online a lot, you know, that what we need is experience and knowledge and the truth of God's word. And that's what changes that.
So. Here's a question people will ask. They'll say, well, should I refer to the community as black, mm-hmm. African-American? I mean, how do you answer that?
I think it's individual, to be honest. I prefer. I prefer African-American, but I say blacks as well. But I know there are others that think African-American, that's too.
Because we've heard both.
I like to be called black. That's just, I'm going to call you white. Call you black. I'm just a country lawyer from Southeast Missouri. So I'm born and raised on the farm. I just never have been technical. Just call me black. We'll sort out the rest later. And I'm just like, I know. It's just too much. And I've always been that way. I'm like, let's just call me black.
Let me ask you this. People will say, and you hear white people say it more than you would hear people of color say it. Well, I'm colorblind. I don't see anything. Do you think that's really good for people to be colorblind?
No. You need to see what I bring to the table, and part of what I bring to the table is my blackness.
Yeah.
There's an enrichment in that that you can't bring. There are some things you bring to the table that I will never embrace because I'm not white. So you invite and open the door of opportunity when you recognize and allow for my blackness to be there. And then the doors open for that relationship to begin. If you say that you are colorblind, are you searching in your heart truly and dusting off the cobwebs of your heart to really see if that's accurate? Are you okay if your child or your grandchild comes home and says, oh, it's LPA or it's homecoming or it's prom, and my date is, that churning in your stomach, that lets you know that there's still cobwebs somewhere inside your heart. So there's still something that needs to be refined, that needs to be given to God so that he can dust off, so that it's not a matter of I'm not colorblind. It's a matter of see me, recognize everything I'm bringing to the table. And part of the way God has made me is my blackness.
Well said.
And we go forward with that.
That's beautiful.
So
I look at it this way. When someone says that, let's say it's the same thing when they're like, well, I don't see poor or rich people. I just see people. Well, what happens? Wow. We're not able to bless be a blessing to the poor people.
That's
because
good.
you're not aware of it.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't see those people. Everybody's the same. And that's the same thing here. You're not seeing, number one, the desperate impact that's happening to them.
Yeah.
So you're not recognizing that. So you're like, I just don't. So when they need something or there's a need to be fulfilled by you not recognizing their current economic state, which they're living in, you're not able as a child of God to be able to be a blessing in their life. And so when you say that for, you know, anyone, but especially for blacks, you're saying to us that number one, I don't care about your uniqueness, and number two, I'm not aware of your situation or problem, so I don't want to be aware of it. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing. We're trying to, if you want to be able to help, assist, and change, mm-hmm. you have to be aware that there is a situation. And mm-hmm. by you saying, I just view people and that's it.
Maurice, do you have stories of discrimination in the area? Or you came from Tulsa. So just what kind of things do you encounter?
We moved here from Tulsa. I was born and raised in DeBoo Hill, so Poplar Bluff. Farm boy, we're black farmers down there. And so hearing racist remarks or something, it's nothing new to me. So I get pretty thick skin when it comes to that. But we moved here from Tulsa to Springfield. And so my wife and I, we were at the Cider Festival. And so we're walking back and her parents were visiting from Tulsa with us. And James at the time was maybe 3 months old. And there a truck passed by and yelled the N-word. I'm telling you right now, there was a different feel for me that time. Mm-hmm. I had a 3-month-old son with me.
Yeah.
I guess there was a piece of me that believed my son wouldn't be called that maybe ever in his life. And at that point in time, that truck passed by that did not know us at all and yelled out, the window, that word. And I just, it impacted me different. I've never thought my son would hear that term. I thought we'd be beyond this.
There are so many incidences, and this might be a shock, I don't know, but quarantine for the past 2 months, 2.5, 3 months, has just been, there's a part of me that has just been wonderful. I have not had to step out. I have not had to face any sort of racism. I've been in my home. I have not had to worry about when I walk in a store, depending on where you're going. You know that wherever it is, you're going to be treated in a little different way. I remember when I bought my first house, I was there for 7 or 8 years, I think, and the connotation that black people are like apes or black people like monkeys, and you come out and there's bananas all over my car and you don't react. You don't give that power.
Here in Springfield?
Oh, yes. And so you take the bananas and you put them in the Walmart sack and you put them on your stoop and you get in your car and you go to work. And another week passes and you have bananas all over your car and you don't react and you put those in your bag and you go to work or you go to church. And you don't give the power of that. And it's not because, it's because you know you have to keep going. And I remember the providence of God. It was only the Holy Spirit. It could have been. And I got up and I thought, is this a banana day or not? And I walked around my car to make sure. And there's no other reason than the Holy Spirit letting me know, look down. And they cracked bottles and tucked them behind all four of my tires. And you don't react. And you put those in a bag and you put them on the stoop and you go to work or you go to church. It's all the time. But without Christ in our lives, how could we make it? And that's, I think, what I think about the people who are in Minneapolis or the people who are in Colorado or in California or wherever all these are. Without Christ, how can you make it? Those churches in those areas need to be prominent. Now is the time to lead, which is fantastic that we have the platform to do this here. Now is the time. It's been the time for generations.
What would you say to people in this area who are white concerning what would be your call to them to action? And then especially brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah. I mean, what would you hope over the next 12 months
that
people
see.
Who are believers would do, and either whether that's personally how they treat people or whether it's a call to action, what would you prescribe?
For me, I would prescribe James 4:17. Says that whosoever knows the right thing and does not do it, he himself has sinned. Don't stay silent. No matter what it is, don't stay silent. And I'm walking with the same, with another person holding a $100 bill. And he buys, gets a change, his change, and he goes. But I buy with my $100 bill, and I have to stay 15 extra minutes because I have a $100 bill. Don't be that person. Don't be that person that asks me, how did you buy your shoes? Not because you want one, but because it feels like I'm not deserving of having those shoes. Don't be that person. So my call to action is, how can you be a light and the salt of this world, especially to those of us in the church? And then hide the light under the bushel. You be the light. Don't love me only in the four corners of the church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's one of the hardest things I've had to ever say. You know, when I've had to come worship with you, I see you at the mall and try to say hi, and it's like I have a stench on me. And don't just love me in the four corners of the walls of the church or of my office. No, when I step outside, be proud to let people know you know Denzel. Yeah.
Open up that mm-hmm. conversation, because silence is agreeing with it. Mm-hmm. Silence is agreeing, and it's a generational hurt that people are seeing. There are a lot of crazy things going on right now because it's a generational hurt. It has happened since, what, 1600s? Mm-hmm. It's generational. And for some of us, it's, since it's passed from generation to generation, it's now ingrained in our DNA, and it's almost hidden. Mm-hmm. But so many people are capitalizing on the phrase that George Floyd said, I can't breathe. But realize the difficulty in what I'm saying, we haven't been able to breathe for a really long time. So you have to crack that open, or else it goes underneath the rug. So have the conversation, because silence is not what we're called to do. And yeah. And being open enough, praying for God to open your heart enough to be educated on what's going on, so you can do the steps he's told you to do next.
Each one of you have told things that have happened to you. Mm-hmm. And it's not the first time. And you know it's going to happen again. We pray it doesn't. Yeah. But I think we all understand this isn't going to change overnight. Mm-hmm. I pray it changes fast. How do you keep from getting bitter?
I just feel most people are uneducated about the issue. And so what they think is a way to separate themselves from the issue and say, hey, we talked about it earlier, that I don't see color. I'm colorblind. You know, and they believe that's their approach. And so I don't get bitter for that reason, knowing it's my opportunity to share with them some factors of what's happening. And in our society today, for some reason, this has become political. Like, oh, being, you know, racist or not, it's became political. And to me, I'm like, why is this political? It's just doing the right thing. And I would say I probably skewed to the right more political-wise than I do to the left. I still believe racism happens. And so I feel like we need to pull ourselves back. This is not political. This is a human rights issue.
I honestly don't have time to be bitter. Mm-hmm. I don't have time. If I'm expecting white America to have conversations, I have to stop periodically and have a conversation about myself, that I am not bitter. I claim to be a Christian. Am I showing that right testimony? Am I being a witness to everyone around me at any given time? And then I can go home and scream if I need to. But am I doing it? There's so much. I don't have time.
Yeah.
There's too much to do.
Yeah.
There are too many things escalating for me to stop.
One of my best verses is Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So my first thing is, I don't want this to get into my heart, because it gets into my heart, it gets into my soul, corrupts my thinking and my focus. Now, that's my understanding as a spiritual being. Now, as a physical person, as a human being, what can I do not to get bitter? Walk away.
Yeah.
Don't keep silent, but walk away. Because there's an appropriateness. The Bible says there are times and seasons, I said the season and times for everything under the sun. And one of the things I know is this is a time and season for us to speak up. The only way is to have dialogue. But make sure it's at the appropriate time. The how, the when, and how you say it, it's very important. How, when, and the day you choose. So my reaction will not be there. I may walk away, but definitely I'm gonna come back. Yeah. Say, God, give me wisdom so I can be able to approach this the right way.
Yeah, you know, so very good. Powerful. Well, thank you so much for joining us to be able to talk about this tonight. We so much appreciate it, and we're so glad and grateful that you're part of James River Church. And we believe the best is yet to come, and that applies to the whole issue of racism, racial reconciliation, and beyond the reconciliation, advancement of equality. Equality of opportunity, equality in the way people are treated, equality in the way that we interact with one another. And so we're just so grateful that you would take time. It's been really helpful. And to those who are watching tonight, I just want to thank you for watching and being a part of this discussion. And I want to encourage everybody who's watching to consider some of what we've heard. Every single panelist has stories of what has been done to them that has been hurtful, that has been unkind, has been evil. And what we need to do is we need to make sure that when we see it, when we hear it, when we're around it, whether somebody of color is there or not, we need to stand up and stop it. We need to have the hard discussions. We need to be willing to stand for righteousness, and we need to encourage people to act rightly. Second, I want to encourage you to look at your circle of friends. I want to encourage you, who do you have in your circle of friends who is not like you? And especially, I want to ask you, who are you in relationship with that is a person of color? I think it's very, very important for every one of us as followers of Christ to branch out and to be inclusive in our circle of fellowship. I want to challenge you to do that. Finally, let me say this. If you have influence, and many of you do, whether it's in the schools, whether it's in business, whether it's with city government, county government, state government, wherever it is that God has given you influence to speak, I want to encourage you to be a champion for equality. It's really important that we recognize that there are a lot of subtle disadvantages that the black community faces. That even when you account for credit and when you account for other financial aspects, the opportunities that are available to white people are not available to black people. It's wrong. Whether it's redlining districts where you say there's certain parts of the city where banks aren't going to loan because people of color live there, or whether it's people of color not being able to get the same financial opportunities that white people, this is going on. And we need to speak out against the evil of that. Mm-hmm. We need to do everything we can to level the playing field. It's a matter of justice. Our God is a God of justice. When we see the inequities, we need to speak up.
So good.
Finally, let me just encourage you. Let's pray, because this problem is bigger than any one of us or all of us to solve. And we need the Lord to help us. We need the Lord to heal our land. We need the Lord to change the hearts of people and to give our leaders wisdom. And so we're going to pray, but as we pray, would you join me and let's ask God to do something significant. Pray. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, it's heartbreaking what has happened in the past week, in the past month, but Lord, really over the centuries. God, we're asking you to do something that only you can do ultimately, and that is to change our land. We're asking you to break down the walls of racism. We're asking you to break down the walls of injustice. We're asking you, oh God, to to do something that would bring about a supernatural unity and a harmony of people. Lord, that may take a great awakening and a revival, and I suspect it will. Do it then, yes. Lord, we pray. God, I pray that you would work in our land. I pray that you would heal the deep divides in our land. I pray, Lord, that you would give our national and our state and our local leaders wisdom, Lord, to not be just reactive in their prescriptions, but to be proactive in bringing about justice. I pray, Lord, that we would not, any one of us, excuse ourselves from being a part of the solution, but all of us would understand that we have a role to play in the community in bringing restoration, in bringing healing. And God, I pray that you would help us to see with your eyes, to hear with your ears, to understand with your mind, for we have the mind of Christ, and to love with your heart. I pray, God, that you would empower us to love one another, and especially people who don't look like us, who are from backgrounds different than us, that, Lord, we would radiate your love. That's what the early church was like. Let it be true. Yes. Of the church today, and let it be true of James River Church. God, we're asking for a miracle. We're praying that you would help us. And Lord, I pray for our panelists. I ask that you'd set your hand upon them. Thank you for the generosity of their time. Lord, for the courage that they would come and visit with us and talk pointedly. Yeah. About their own experiences. And I pray, Lord, you would bless them.
Yes, God.
I pray you'd set your hand upon them. I pray you'd watch over them. I pray that, God, you would go before them. And Father, we thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.